fought all the traffic in Atlanta, Douglasville, Carrollton, and Bowden. Amen. I heard that song right there. Praise the Lord. My wife is in the back. Wave at me, sweetheart. That's Miss Julie back there. And I've been telling her about these Dixon kids, how good they could sing. And she didn't come tonight to hear me preach, by no means. She come for the singing, amen? And I appreciate them doing that song for us. And it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Job chapter number 1, please. Brother Ken, thank you so much for inviting us to come again and preach to you. And I look at it this way, Brother Jonathan. If I get invited to go somewhere one time, that's a real blessing. If I get asked to come back, that is a miracle. And I'm just thankful tonight that God is good. And if He would have left us to ourselves, we'd still be alienated and lost forever. But I'm glad deeper than the stain of gold. As Ralph Sexton Sr. would used to say, "How'd I make you want to climb a wall backwards?" I said that up north while back, and them Yankees like, "What? Aren't you glad you know what backwards means?" You say, "What's backwards?" That's off to the fronters. Job chapter number 1 tonight, and I'll begin reading in verse number 6. Now there was a day. And let me just stop and say what a day that was. In fact, for Job, that day became a 365 of them. Because the first 40 chapters of Job covers a period of 1 year in his life. A year of pain and misery and loss. And of course, the last two chapters is when God turned it around. And God blessed the latter end more than the beginning. But there was a day. And I said that to say this. If you live for God long enough, you'll have one of those days. You'll have one of those years. You'll have one of those hours. You'll have one of those moments. But I'm glad He's God of the days and the years and the hours and the moments. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And I wonder how many would agree with me tonight that Satan was probably up to no good at all, walking up down in the earth, trying to fling misery and despair on one of God's choice. And by the way, last time I read the New Testament, he's still at it. He's still walking about seeking whom he may devour. Notice what happens in the text in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschereth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" And in plain old southern Georgia language, that means, yeah, I know he serves you, but what does he get out of it? What's his ulterior motive? He can't be real. He's getting something out of it. Then notice what he says in this next verse. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face." You know what Satan is telling God? The only reason why he serves you, because all that stuff you gave him. And if you take his stuff, he'll curse you to your face. But what the devil didn't know is there is a group of people alive on this earth that their love for God goes way beyond what He's done. It's beyond stuff. It's beyond what He has done. It is based on who He is. And in this next verse, the Lord is about to prove to the devil and Job and his family and his friends and you and I here tonight that the devil is not just limited. The devil's not just a loser, but he is a liar. And not just a liar, but the daddy rabbit of all liars. Notice what happens in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, because all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put thou forth thine hand. And I want you to read this last phrase out loud with me. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You say, Brother Joe, where did he go? He went down to Job's house. And guess what? He's going to come over there to your place. He'll come snooping around my house. He'll go to your church. He'll go to your ministry. And he'll go to your family. As long as we're in this world, we got to put up with this adversary, the devil. But with that in mind, I want to preach for a while on what did the devil find when he went down to Job's house. And I hope what he found at Job's place, he'll find at yours and mine. You may be seated tonight. Here in the text is living proof that bad things happen to good people. Job would have not been a great illustration in a prosperity gospel sermon. I've heard people say, well, if you're saved and in the will of God, you won't ever get sick. And you'll always have plenty of money. And nothing bad is going to happen to you. Now, that may sell videos and books, but it just don't line up with the Word of God. Here is a man that goes to bed one night, and he's got the world by the tail. And before he can crawl back in the bed, 24 hours later, the world's got him by the throat. Job is a living example on how fragile life really is. Someone said, Pastor, how fragile is life? I'll tell you how fragile life is. Everybody in this room tonight is one phone call away. One knock on the door in the midnight hour from the deepest, darkest valley experience in all of our life. You'll study our text tonight and you'll find that disaster took Job's fortune. You'll find that death touched Job's family. You'll find that deceit turned Job's friends. You'll find that disease tortured Job's flesh. But you'll find that the devil tempted Job's faith. But I'm glad I've read the last chapter. And Job did not curse God through his faith. Job did not get bitter. Job did not grow colder. Job did not drift farther. He stayed with God. He had a relationship with God. God was his redeemer. Before, beneath, and beyond his storm. And Satan throws everything that he's got. But yet Job sins not, nor charges God foolishly. And once again, the devil had to leap back off into hell where he come from, lost another one, lied again, because Job would say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in God. Lord, I'm feeling good. Father, Lord, I haven't had this much fun. I would have come last night. Amen. Three things the devil found out about Job when he came to his house. Chapter 1 and verse number 20. He found a man that would worship God's person. When Satan came to Job's house, he found a man that would worship God's person. For the first 19 verses of chapter number 1, it's one bad messenger after another. Notice this expression in your King James Bible. While he was yet speaking, there came another. While he was yet speaking, there came another. While he was yet speaking, there came another. One bad messenger can't get the bad message out of his mouth to here comes another. I thought about preaching on that sometime and then entitling the message, when it rains, it pours. And by the time that last messenger leaves Job's presence, he is reduced to ashes. He is reduced to poverty. He's reduced from health to sickness. It's gone from rich to poor. It's already gone from better to worse. And he's a half a heartbeat from losing his life. And the devil is grinning from ear to ear. He is saying, y'all look out. Here is where Job curses God. Here's where Job blasphemes God. But I want to say to the devil, surprise, surprise, surprise. Because Job did not blaspheme God. Job did not spew out bitterness and blasphemous statements to God. You know what the Bible said in chapter 1 in verse number 20? And Job arose. Son, I was driving down the road the other day, and that opening phrase got in my soul, and I had me a time. Now, the guy that stopped me wasn't near as blessed about it as I was. But just think, Brother Bowman, at that one line, Job arose. Job arose. He has been body slammed. He has been suplexed. He has been towel dried. He has been figure eighted. He has been full Nelson. He's had, I can't help it if you don't know nothing about wrestling. He has had the sleeper put on. He's been high dived. He's been sidekicked. And the devil's got him down on the mat of life. He's covered in a pool of blood and sweat and tears. And the devil said, I've stopped him. And the devil said, I got him. The devil said, he's not for real. I see Job as he begins to wiggle his fingers. I see Job as he pulls himself up off the mat. I see Job as he wipes the blood and the sweat and the tears off of his face. And the first thing that shocks the devil is, he arose. He arose. He arose. He didn't stay down. He didn't stay flat on his face. You can't keep a good man down. He arose. He arose. And there may be somebody in this room tonight. You've been piledrived. You've been suplexed. You've been slam dunked. You've been body slammed. And the devil's got his infernal foot on your throat. And he's told you you're a god. But I'm telling you tonight, look up and get up and reach up. There is a God in heaven that's greater than in you, than he that is in the world. He arose. Woo! Job arose. Rent his mantle. Shaved his head. Fell back down upon the ground. And griped. And grumbled. And whined. And bellyached. And complained. I must be reading out of one of them funny Bibles. Let me read out of the right one. So Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Here it is. And worshiped. worshiped. Thank God for worship. He worshiped. Someone said the other day, we need to pray for the Lord to create a worshipful atmosphere. Listen to me. If you don't ever worship God till the atmosphere is right, you won't do a lot of worshiping. Let me give you something tonight that will change your life. God does not create the atmosphere for you to worship. Worship by faith creates the atmosphere. God does not create the atmosphere. Worship creates the atmosphere for God to step out of His world into your world. For the Bible said that God inhabits the praises of His people. I promise you tonight, the atmosphere in Job 1 is not one of cheerfulness and gaiety and laughter and peace. The atmosphere in Job 1, it stinks. It reeks, buddy, with depression and fear and pain and loss. But Job realizes the God that he serves and the God that he loves is bigger than the atmosphere. He's bigger than our situation. He's bigger than the circumstance. And Job, in the midst of a rotten atmosphere, he just says, I want to worship God. Let's worship God. It's always right to worship God. Worship. Did you know you can go to church and not worship God? You can hear beautiful music and not worship God. You can hear a Bible exposition and not worship God. Well, I'm glad I learned a long time ago that real worship goes way beyond being a spectator at a religious event. And you say, well, what is real worship? The word worship comes from a word, worth-ship. Worth-ship. When you're worshiping something, you are giving it its worth-ship. Let me ask you like this. What is the worth of God in your life? How much is He worth to you? What is the value of God? What is the worth of God? What would you be without Him? What would you have without Him? Where would you spend eternity without Him? May I say this tonight very humbly, I'm not worth it. You're not worth it. I'm not worth much. Most of my friends ain't worth much. But there is one tonight that sitteth upon the circle of the earth whose name is holy and righteous and divine and pure. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth the trouble. He's worth the trial. He's worth the tear. He's worth the hallelujah. He's worth the praise. Let's just tell God how much He's worth. Real worship is when your soul and spirit has been overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. And the Holy Ghost has ushered you into the holy place. And from a broken and contrite spirit, you're just telling God how much He's worth. You're just telling God what He means to you. Oh, how long has it been since you cleared you off a piece of real estate and said, Lord, I know you know my heart, but I want you to hear it coming out of my mouth. You're worth everything to me. Old Job said, I don't understand why my crops were burned. I don't understand why they stole my livestock. I don't know why they tore my house apart. I don't know why my kids died. I don't know why my wife's so mad at me. But there's one thing I know. He's worth it. He's worthy. And I love Him. I'm glad tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that it's always right to give Him praise and give Him glory. For He is the worthy Lamb of God. Someone said, well, Brother Joe, it doesn't say in verse 20 that he worshiped the Lord. It just said he worshiped. Are you on drugs? You say, well, what makes you think he's worshiping the Lord? Well, let me ask you this. Who is there left to worship in his life? What else has he got to worship? He's not worshiping his money. It's gone. He's not worshiping his house. It's blown apart. He's not worshiping his livestock. Somebody stole it, hotwired them camels and got out of there. He's not worshiping his children. They're dead. He's not worshiping his wife. She's mad at him. He's not worshiping his health. It's gone too. You know how I can say tonight without any reservation that he's worshiping God? Because God's the only one still there. God's the only one still left. Right now. Right now. In Job's life. God's the only stable influence he's got. God has not forsook him. God has not deserted him. He hasn't vacillated. He hasn't changed. God is still there. The same yesterday, today and forever. And God will bring us to the place. But he's all we've got. But when he's all we've got, he's all we need. Worship. Worship. Let me say it like this. I'm glad they found Job where they found him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, notice where they did not find him. They didn't find him down there at the pool hall or the barber shop or the local gossip hole, bad mouthing, spewing out bitterness about God. In fact, they didn't even find Job in a church service giving a testimony meeting. Now, I love a good testimony, but I despise testimony. You say, what's the difference? If you don't know the difference, you never had to endure one of them. A testimony says, God is great, and God is good, and God is wonderful, and God is awesome, and God is faithful. I praise him. I bless him. A testimony edifies, glorifies, magnifies God, and it helps everybody else that hears it. A testimony brags on the devil and depresses everybody else that has to look at it and hear it. Lady said one time, I said, whoa, you draw my testimony. I should have took Valium after it was over. Can you imagine somebody fighting hell, tooth and toenail all week long? And finally they made it to church on one leg. The devil did everything they could to stop them. And the first thing they hear is some Baptist get up and whine and bellyache about how bad it is. Shut up! The rest of us is already on the nerve, on the edge of a nervous breakdown, and your big old testimony may push us over. They didn't find him down at the bars and the pool halls and the gossiping holes. They didn't find him at the gates of the city blaspheming God. You know where they found him? They found him in the ashes. Brother Jonathan, this is deep. I hope you can get it. You know what ashes are? That's the leftover from afar. I learned that all by myself. If you see ashes, you know what that means? There's been a fire there. Well, when Job is sitting in the ashes, he's been where the fire's been. What kind of fire? Have you not read where Job was the priesthood of his family, and Job led his family in daily prayers and burnt offerings to God? Brother, when you see Job in them ashes, you know where he's at? Where he's met God before. Where he's worshiped God before. Where he's got a hold of God before. I mean, brother, when he didn't know where to turn or what to do, he knew that was a place where he had met God before and God blessed him before. He said, I'm just going back where I know where God is. And he picks up the ashes, the yesterday's blessing and the yesterday's prayers, and he relieves present day memories every once in a while. We all need a little Donnie Rambo. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then and show us where you brought me from and where I could have been. Get back into the altar and God is still there. Well, I don't understand them people who go to the altar every time we have church. I'm not worried about them who go to the altar every time we have church. I'm worried about them who ain't been to the altar since Moby Dick was a minnow. Twenty-nine years at the same church. I've preached everything I know to them people, and some things I wasn't even sure of. But in 29 years, I've never had them frequent altar goers try to tear the church up. Start smut on the preacher. Oh, don't worry about that. You say, well, preacher, they just went down there Sunday morning. Why'd they go back down there that night? Okay. This is a Baptist church. Let's vote on something. How many's ever been to the Cracker Barrel? All right. How many's ever been to Africa? So I ain't got a lot down here. How many's ever been to McDonald's? Brother, you ain't ever been out to eat nowhere. God bless your heart. All right. How many of you know of a restaurant you like to go to? And how many of you have been there more than once? I know thin is in, but fat's where it's at. And God bless your soul. The Bible doesn't say the righteous, buddy, shall be made thin. It said the righteous shall be made fat. Glory. So how many of us have been to a restaurant more than once? More than twice? More than three times? You know why you go back? You like the groceries. You like the groceries. Well, preacher, they went to the altar Sunday morning. Why did they go back down there Sunday night? They like what they got for good Sunday morning. They want another dose on Sunday night. I say, let's worship God. Let's worship God. No matter how bad it smells and tastes and hurts, He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He found a man that would worship God's person. Now listen closely. I'm thankful for what He's done. You're looking at a man that's been blessed, boy. God's been good to me. But I'm telling you tonight, if He never blesses again, if He never steals another storm, supplies another need, it's who He is. I've heard people say this, and I know they mean well. But listen, they'll say, God, if you'll do such and such, I'll praise you. He's worthy of your praise if He never does such and such. I even heard people say, Lord, if you'll save my lost loved ones, I'll praise you. Hear me close. If everybody in your family, in mine, rejects the gospel and goes to hell, God forbid the thought, but He'll still be holy. He'll still be right. He'll still be sovereign. He'll still be faithful. I just want to say, He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. He's God. And besides Him, there is none else. Worship God's person. I got to hurry. Come to chapter number 23. Job chapter number 23. He found a man that would worship God's person. Chapter number 23, watch this. He found a man that would walk in God's path. Let me bring you to this point. Job's friends came to see him. And when friends like Job, woo, God deliver us from having enemies. For 10 days, they turned on the big freeze. Just stared at him. And I know you know what that is. How many married men we got here? Anybody married to a woman knows what the big freeze is? And it don't do no good to ask them what's wrong, because the more you're talking, the more they're balking. Because you can say, what's wrong? And they'll say, nothing. Come on, what's nothing. Then they'll say, it ain't nothing right now, but bless God, you're going to make it something. I told my little queen bee the other day, I said, well, baby doll, if you're that upset over nothing, God forbid that something happen in our place. Slap me, yell at me, chuck a brick at me, but don't stare at me. I wonder if Job didn't get a ball bat whoop a whole outfit.
That's right.
But Brother Ken, when they finally opened their mouth, they should have kept it shut.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they was all wrong about God and Job.
Sure was.
Let me run a rabbit if I hurry. Isn't it amazing how smart some people are about your deal and dumb as a rock about their deal? They know why you got cancer. They know why your wife left. They know why your kid drank a cup of stupid. They know why you lost your job. They know why you got sick. They know why you had a problem. But they don't know anything about them. Mr. Spiritual Detective, can I tell you something? You don't know nothing about me, yourself, or God. Woo! I believe I hit it too hard. So finally, they spoke up and said, okay, Job, say something. Say something, Job. Answer, Job. Why are you doing this? Why are you going through that? Why did this happen? Come on, Job. What do you got to say? What do you got to say, Job? What do you got to say? Come on, testify. Say something. And can I say sometime, you can be so overwhelmed with grief, you ain't got nothing to say. And if you knew what to say, you wouldn't have the strength to do it. And for 23 chapters, they doubted at this old boy. Say something, son. Say something, boy. Testify. Come on, Job. Give an answer. Well, chapter number 23 and verse number 11 and 12, Job gives his testimony. Oh, I noticed what he said. I got wrote down on here, holler glory right here. Hallelujah. I'm about to get overwhelmed. Look in verse number 11. Here's what Job said after 23 chapters of silence. Oh, glory. My foot hath held his steps. Oh, I bet that shocked them. His way have I kept and not declined. Verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Job said, look up in here. See my feet? See where I'm standing? Same place they was before this thing ever got started. See the path I'm walking? Same one I was walking before this thing got started. Job said, you know the direction I'm going? The same one I was going before this thing got started. I have not backed up. I have not declined. I've not turned my heart against God. I've not turned my back against God. I'm walking in His path. I'm walking on in His name. I'm staying with Him. I say tonight, may the devil find somebody in Bowden, Georgia that'll walk with God and stay with God no matter what comes our way. Let me say this tonight. I got a weakness. You got a weakness. All of God's children got a weakness. I don't mean to depress you or nothing, but I'm going to give you a real revelation. There's something wrong with all of us. You say, not me. Oh, yeah, you. Yours is lying. Brother, I believe you are a great man. Several years ago, I watched you rise to an occasion like a general. I believe you're a good brother. But you got faults somewhere. Brother, I love you. I asked the preacher, and I said, where's big man? He said, he backslid. No, he didn't. I believe you're a good brother. But you got some faults. Don't he, ma'am? Brother Ken, I love you.
Sure I do.
Man in my church owned that big store in Griffin. People that worked for you years ago was in there, and he asked him, said, you know Ken Bowman? They said, yes, sir, we sure do. Said, he's a real Christian. I don't mean your preacher buddy said that. I mean people you work with. And buddy, if your younguns and your wife and people you work with like you, you're pretty good. But I'm sure somewhere there's a weakness. And I said that to say this. Your weakness may not be mine, may not be yours, but I promise you there's an avenue that Satan can go up to get to you. Now listen to this, I believe it'll change your life. Listen to this. And no matter what avenue Satan may approach you with, his ultimate goal for all of us is the same. What's that? Turn your back on God. Pull a Simon Peter and curse three times. You don't even know who he is. The devil may tempt you with sex. He may tempt you with money. He may tempt you with alcohol. He may tempt you with gossip. Woo. Whatever avenue he may walk up to your soul to, his purpose for you and his purpose for me is the same. Deny God. Just turn your back on God. Just curse God. But I want to say this. Why in the world would you want to turn your back on the best friend you ever had? The one that you need the most. The only one that can solve your problem. The only one that can steal your story. Don't you let the devil cause you to turn your back on God. Stay with him. Stay with him. Stay with him. It's worth every mile of the trip. Woo! Job said, my feet have held his steps. You say, Brother Job, what would give Satan the audacity to even think that Job would turn his back on God? Because he had seen others do it. Brother, there's people all over Georgia that's not even gone through a thimble of what Job had to go through. And they done cursed God and turned their back on God years ago. That's what he wants you to do. Can I put Job in the church age just a minute? If Job was in this church building tonight, this would have been his testimony. I've been slammed. I've been pile-drived. I've been suplexed. I've lost my livelihood. I've lost my home. I've buried my children. And my old wife don't even understand. And I'm sick unto death. But I still read my Bible. And I still pay my tithes. And I still go to church. And I still sing Victory in Jesus. And I still tell folks about the Lord. And I still go to preach it. I still maintain my relationship. I say, don't turn your back on it. Don't turn your back on it. He's your only way out of this mess. Stay with him. He's worth it.